Steelers Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
The coach for his opening statement.
Yeah, 2 days out, just walked off the practice field, just building up to Friday night. And again, I know we've talked a lot about it already, but awesome opportunity for our football team to go up against, a very good football team in Oklahoma and Coach Venables. And so I'm looking forward to everything that comes about here in the next 2 to 3 days.
All right, appreciate it, Coach. Let's go ahead and start with Jeff Spiegel. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, Kalen. I know it's next man up, whenever someone's injured, but could you tell me, Josh Cuevas, what does he bring to the table when he's out there for you?
Experience, athleticism, just consistent in everything, knows his assignment. He's been in the system now 3 years. And so, he can kind of do it all. He's comfortable in the box, on the line, flexed out, all the little things that we really utilize our tight ends for. He's just extremely comfortable doing it.
Let's go to Charlie Potter next.
Yeah, Coach, I was actually going to ask about Josh and Danny Lewis too. Just what have you seen from those guys in terms of their progress and maybe their availability for Friday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both of them will be available. And so again, the progress continues to happen, and Danny's is just going to continue to be ongoing like it has. And so, we're just utilizing him just to perk certain packages and, because he's not necessarily an every play type of guy as far as just with the limitations he has. And so he'll be ready to go, but he's a big body in there that we can utilize in ways. And he knows the offense really well also.
Chase Goodbread, I'm assuming that's you. Go ahead. You're next.
Yeah, Coach, there was some reporting yesterday that Derek Nix is going to be the next receivers coach. Can you shed any light on that at all?
I'm not ready to talk about that yet. Appreciate the question, but not ready to go there yet.
All right, let's next go to Blake Byler. Go ahead, Blake.
Yeah, Coach, Jeremy mentioned yesterday that the lights caused some difficulties for receivers last year at Oklahoma. Has that been anything y'all have talked about or prepared for leading up to this game?
I know he had the one in particular, that somehow he's either in the lights or not in the lights. I'm not sure what the situation was, but it kind of ate him up, or however you want to word it. But, every stadium is a little different, and really there's no way to replicate, whether it's Bryant-Denny Stadium or, when we go on the road to these other places. And so just got to adjust when you're there. Actually, we had a practice under the lights the other night, but really that's not going to do anything for you as far as preparing for the places you go. So we just got to adjust when we're there. There's nothing really to talk about. It's just a road game and all the things that come with it.
All right, next is Colin Gay.
Hey, Kalen. Obviously, this is a stage that you've been on before in terms of the college football playoff, but it's the first time here at Alabama. Like, what do you remember about how, your demeanor or how you approached the college football playoff when you were at Washington? What similarities do you see from that time? What differences?
I just know that across the board, the intensity is just so much fun to be a part of, the playoff environment and, just everyone. The support, whether it's your team inside, the support outside, this is what you work for. You work to get to this moment to where you got a chance to reach your goals. And, every day you're giving everything you can to give yourself the best chance to be successful. And so you just got to make sure we stick to our process and every day give everything you got. One thing that is, nice this week is, you're done with finals and guys are graduation and all that's taken care of. And so, you're just really focused on football. And so that's been really good for our guys to be able to lock in that way. But Yeah, just, you know, if you're not giving everything you got now, you know, really, really don't belong here because that's the expectation anytime. And it certainly would be the expectation at this point in the playoff season.
Hey, let's go to Will Miller next.
Coach, you said before that you thought the running game took steps forward in the first game against Oklahoma this year. With Jam being back out there, what do you expect to see from him and from that part of the offensive attack this time around?
Yeah, I think I thought we blocked as good as we had. And again, you want to take those steps. And, we've had times where we struggled to run the ball. And I thought that was a game where we communicated well. We blocked well. We did our assignment and we kept building. And, Jam was the part of that, and carried the load there, as well as Daniel, and getting some opportunities in that first game. And so you just really hope that us understanding what they do, I know there'll be some tweaks and adjustments they make. We will do the same, but you just really want to build. And two teams that, again, know each other. And so, you have your identity, but you also got to continue to find these little tangents that you can add to it, because, we know what they're working on and they know what we're working on.
We'll go to Mike Rodak next. Go ahead, Mike.
Yep. Yesterday, you announced the signing of Josh Ford out of the portal. Just what did you see out of him from Oklahoma State, and just kind of where do you see him fit again next year?
Yeah, we just need tight ends, guys that, are versatile and can do the thing on the line of scrimmage for us and give us some size. And we also, need guys that can make the catches and be a threat, in the passing game. And so just really feel good about the direction that room can continue to go. We got the graduation of Josh and Danny this year. And so got some good young guys, but could use some veteran, guys that have been in the college world a little bit, and he brings that.
Okay, we'll go to Matthew Mason next.
And welcome into this Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Just heard a little bit from Kalen DeBoer's interview this Wednesday. Big thanks to Chase helping getting some of that going. Apologize for the delay on my end, man. I had some tech difficulties. The internet started going in and out. The mic going in and out. Still a little sensitive here, so we're going to be careful. Just know if we kind of cut in for a second, we got it handled. It's just a little sensitivity on my end. But nonetheless, man, we're here. We're ready to roll on this free-for-all Friday game day edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Excited to rock and roll. We're going to get our final word in for this matchup again tonight. Normally we'd be doing it the day before, but it's going to be tonight, right? We got our playoff game this evening, 7 p.m. Central Time kick. So we'll get you guys ready for that, put our final touches on our thoughts on this matchup. We'll get the final predictions in there. We'll give you ours. Want to get y'all's for a chance to win a signed football, 205-342-9904. You guys can do that there. You can leave your predictions on the phone lines or call in, talk to me, drop them there, or leave them with Chase. You can drop them here on the comment section of our YouTube stream, Facebook stream, all that good stuff, or send them in via the Tide 100.9 app that we urge you guys to download if you haven't already. Again, it's completely free. Google Play Store, Apple App Store, all that good stuff. Man, check it out. It's a great app. It allows you to leave messages, so listen to all the shows wherever you're at and all that stuff, and read articles. So you might as well do it. Plus, if you guys like listening to the post-game show that me and Gray Robertson do, you can listen to the Crimson Tide Sports Network with the app as well. That said, Chase, man, a lot of things to touch on today, get some final thoughts in here. I've got some little snippets and clips of what the national media is saying about this game right now, because, listen, a lot of eyes are on this matchup. It's a first-round matchup. It's a rematch. We know what happened last time these two teams played in a football game. Little bit of an ugly game, you know what I mean? Definitely on our end, but just kind of some back and forth, really just a story of a bunch of turnovers and ended up being a 23-21 narrow victory for Oklahoma. Can Alabama get their get back on the road in Norman this time? We talked with Rodney Anderson yesterday, former Oklahoma running back. He gave us his thoughts on the matchup. He shared with us, hey, they're closing schools down there. So these fans over at Norman, man, they're excited for this matchup. I believe it's the first time being in the playoffs under newer head coach, Brent Venables. So a lot of excitement and enthusiasm on there. And quick question, we have a lot of fans traveling to this game. Chase, have you heard from any of our callers or any of our listeners earlier? Is there a big group of Bama fans traveling. I feel like I hadn't really seen too much. I mean, I guess the only thing I would see is maybe on social media. But for any of our listeners or our folks in the comments section here, if anybody's going or knows anybody going, let me know. I'm curious. But, yeah, man, looking forward to it. We'll definitely dive into all this action. At the top of the hour, we will talk with Reagan Starn of R&R Cigars, get his smoking hot picks. We're not the only ones playing. We got, you know, other playoff games today, tomorrow. So we will discuss those as well, give our thoughts on the college football playoffs, man. It's an exciting time of the year, man. A lot of things to look forward to. With that being said, let me remind you about our friends over at the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. Try before you buy, nothing to lose. Make sure you guys check them out. They will take care of that hip pain, knee pain, back pain, whatever, foot pain that you're dealing with those premium art sports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain in just 4 short weeks. If you haven't, man, walk on in the store. They take in walk-ins, and you can always schedule an appointment at the Good Feet Store's website, goodfeet.com. Make sure you go check that out, schedule that appointment, find the nearest location to you. Just type in your zip code. They're nationwide. Man, these things are game changers. So let them be game changers for you, just like they've been for me, man. I love these things. Again, that is the Good Feet Store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. Chase, I know we talked a little bit about, I know we heard a little bit, I think it was Josh Pate. He gave some thoughts. It was more so about the whole coaching situation. We talked about that. But I don't know how much you keep up with ESPN, CBS, all that stuff. But even if, hell, you don't even just watch the whole show. I mean, there's a bunch of clips going around, Chase. And yeah, obviously, you know, we're just like that one guy had asked, is this a Bama show? Well, I mean, might as well be, right? I mean, we talk 85, 90% Alabama football, really. And me being a former player, we're on Tide 100.9. Yeah, you can pretty much say that. But it's kind of interesting, Chase. I mean, there's a lot of folks, and not that this matters, but I just was, I don't know, it was kind of interesting to me because we talk about the, hey, it's tough to beat a good football team twice narrative, which I think there definitely is some, not just a narrative, there's some truth to that. We know that. We found that out in the SEC championship game after talking about it. But you don't really see that narrative being pushed with this matchup, Chase. There's not as much faith in the Alabama Crimson Tide going on the road to Norman, Oklahoma, this evening. And it's kind of interesting to me, man. I mean, listen, I understand the matchup. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a dogfight, another defensive showdown, probably a lower scoring game. I understand all that. And I understand playing on the road. But again, we always talk about that don't, you know, you don't want to play a team twice. I just don't feel like we're hearing a lot of that on our end right now. Chase, do you think there's a lack of respect for Alabama right now, or do you think it's kind of warranted? I mean, listen, we don't really wear crimson glasses over here. I mean, yes, we always are going to, you know, have Alabama's best interest for, well, let me say it like this. We're going to be honest, but when we can, we're going to try our best to find every positive we can about Alabama. That's the best way to put it, right? Without being biased. I guess that's the best way to try to, you know, describe that. That said, we haven't played great football, especially offensively over the last 4 or 5 games. I get all that, but I don't know, Chase. I mean, you think it's a little disrespectful, or you think it's warranted given how we've looked the past 4 or 5 football games?
I think it's a little disrespectful. You know, Alabama has gotten to this point for a reason. You know, they didn't sneak in. You know, they didn't need anybody's help. They got to the SEC championship off offense and defense and somewhat special teams and the head coaching staff. So I think it's just the narrative to always poo-poo on Bama whenever they have the chance. And I think it's much of a motivating factor for Alabama to use and to really just play back clips of people saying Bama has lost its juice. You know, Ty Simpson is not that quarterback anymore. Even with Josh Cuevas and so many others coming back, it's not enough. You know, it's just, this is what Bama needs to show that, hey, we are still the standard. Even when you knock us down, we still have more in the tank than what you realize. And you'll see that in Norman later today. But yeah, I've seen a lot on Twitter, Christian. I don't know if you've seen a lot of a lot of when you were playing, but it's just strange to me to see people just not afraid of Bama anymore. It's just people are so willing to be like, you know what, it's Bama, Oklahoma is the winner in this one. And I'm just like, man, like, Bama still is the standard. It didn't disappear regardless of how they've been playing. Like, people play them as a Super Bowl. And if you ask Oklahoma, any player, anybody behind the scenes, they look at Alabama as a Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah, but you made a good point. It is different, man, a different era where it's not, you know, there used to be the, you know, we want Bama chance, and, you know, people really didn't mean it. You know, everybody still had that fear factor. It's a little bit, excuse me, a little bit different now. And I listen, I think sometimes people kind of just automatically assume, like, oh, it's because we're Alabama. And I'll be honest, I never really thought of it like that until recently. I'm like, maybe there is a little truth to it. Maybe there really is, in fact, some real Bama fatigue. It does kind of feel like that. People are kind of just like, ah. But on the flip side, I do understand, you know, we haven't played great football, and there is, you know, cause of concern or some doubt, I would say. But I don't know. I do know the answer to all these questions that are going on and have been going on the last 2 weeks at this point will be answered this evening, 7 p.m. Central kick time, man. I think it's going to be a great game. I'm excited. I'm fired up for it. And I'm ready to see what goes down. Listen, win or lose, man, I just hope it's a good football game. Obviously, I really want us to win the football game. But I'll be honest, I think my biggest question mark right now is I just don't know what version of this Alabama football team we're going to see. And I think a lot rides on that. I think the result really is going to depend on how we show up. Because, yeah, when I look at these two football teams and I look at last matchup, I mean, I see that we had some success moving the football on these guys, even with the really good defense. We had a better running game than usual against these guys, which they're known for stopping the run and having a really good front seven. And what's interesting was they weren't really known, like Rodney said, to force all these turnovers defensively, but they came up with three. You know what I mean? So there's so many factors that I look at that could, you know, play a role. I just, without Oklahoma having the offense to put up a lot of points, they're relying heavily on their defense. And to me, it's like this, Chase. I think one of the biggest, I mean, turnover battle, which everybody's already talking about it, but just think about this. Like, really, I think if Oklahoma wants to win the game, they've got to have big plays / turnovers that helps their offense out tremendously. Like, they need help with field position. It's not even just about, like, a pick six or something like that. It's really the field position battle, which we've been bad at. And they had a hell of a, you know, advantage with that in this last matchup. And if you think about it, you know, Oklahoma, if they can, you know, have success bringing pressure like they did last time, not just, you know, the sacks or their interception, or excuse me, well, yes, with the sacks, but not with the fumbles and interceptions only, but even, you know, sacks to end drives, right? Or to, you know, force short field positions, say we're backed up, then we can't get out of there, then we give them better field. Like, those little details, I think, really will show up in this game. And shout out to Clint. Again, Clint Lamb, who joins us every Tuesday. I saw that he just tweeted this. I think it was it today? It might have been yesterday. I'm sorry. But he was comparing the last 10, I guess, touchdown drives for both of these teams in their last SEC games. And if you look at Oklahoma's, and I can share this on the screen real quick. So, interesting stat. And this just goes to show you the field position battle, how, you know, important it is. You look at Oklahoma, 5 plays, 23 yards, 2 plays, 31 yards. 5 plays, 22 yards, 3 plays, 90 yards, 7 plays, 35 yards. But you see the theme, and it goes on. All of them, like, they've had such short field to work with, probably a lot. And again, I don't know exactly the, you know, factors that led to these things. But if I had to guess, right, their defense probably put them in a good position. They benefit from that, and they have to have that. This Oklahoma offense is not built to be marching down the field 70-plus yards and scoring a bunch of points. Now, they do have a hell of a kicker, right, who won the award for the nation's best kicker. So he's got range. We know that. And he's accurate as hell. So that also helps him out. But still, the short field position is huge. That's something to pay attention to in this football game. And that can be, you know, attributed to, you know, turnovers, things like that. We'll have to see. So we'll talk a little bit more about some of these keys in a minute. We need to take a time out to stay on schedule. Again, big thanks for Chase righting the ship again. Some tech difficulties this morning. But we're squared away and we're rolling. And that's all that matters, man. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll keep talking about this matchup, keep giving you guys our keys, our thoughts, our predictions, all that good stuff. Plus, we'll listen to some of these outside opinions, man. And you know, just brace for them because, you know, there's going to be some, I wouldn't say Bama hate, but definitely a lot of Oklahoma love. But just want to hear those thoughts. And remember, at the top of the hour, we'll get Reagan Starner smoking hot picks from R&R Cigars. And keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9.
Stephen Mezrano, Alabama Injury Lawyers. Mez wins.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping
infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine, ask your doctor about Tremfya. Call 1-800-526-7736 or visit Tremfya.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
back into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's art and sport experts. I forgot to show that last part, or at least talk about it real quick while we were still on air. Basically, it was just the other side of things in terms of that field position stat from Clint over at Cover Crimson. Again, they do great work, man. Check him and all his work out. Alabama's, you know, drives were all 65-plus yards. So just going back to show you how important the field position battle is. And how do you change it? How do you affect that? Well, I mean, it could be a number of things. Number one, special teams, right, in terms of punt coverage, punts themselves. Those are big. Any type of kick coverage, even kickoff return is, you know, is a big deal too, right? You go back in the Georgia game and we had a block punt, set them up for a short field. They had at least one, maybe two, you know, solid returns. So our punt coverage has to be better. Those little details matter. So the turnovers, we all know those things. So you got to clean up as much as you can. And you can't give teams short fields because you see what happens, man. They're going to capitalize, especially a team like Oklahoma that has a kicker that good, man. You give them good field position, man, they're almost guaranteed 3 points each time. And they're okay with that. They're just going to keep chomping at the bit. I mean, again, that's not a very explosive offense. They're not expecting to put up a whole bunch of points. In terms of some of the narratives going around, Chase, let's start here. We got Joel Klatt. He's a you know, a common voice in college football. Let's hear what he thinks about this matchup as number 9 Alabama travels to number 8 Oklahoma this evening.
The biggest question for me, and I think it's the question of the entire game, is can Oklahoma score? Listen, Bama's been dealing with a lot. You know, I think that they've got some distractions. There's some question about how their focus is going to be. The last time we saw them on the field, Georgia was beating them down pretty handily. Then you've got all of the talk about what Ty Simpson is going to do with his future. And obviously, Kalen DeBoer, his name being thrown around, he's had to make comments and statements about his commitment to Alabama. I've always said on this program, and I think you guys have long heard me say this, the quickest way to be defeated is to be distracted. So the distraction meter for Alabama, is it going to play a part in this game? We don't know. Now, Alabama has not looked great in the last month, in particular, Ty Simpson throwing the football. In the last four games, he's been under 60%, just over 200 yards per game, and he's only thrown 5 touchdowns. That's not going to cut it. This defense for Oklahoma is a relentless attack-oriented style of defense. This one being in Norman is a big deal. I don't think that we, as like a college football consumer and enjoyer, I don't know if we truly understand in its infancy of just a 12-team playoff what home playoff games actually mean. Oklahoma is elite two of the three areas of their team. OU really struggles on offense. That's the only thing in this game that gives me a lot of concern for Oklahoma. Ever since John Mateer had that hand injury, he had the procedure on his hand, it just hasn't been the same. So in the back half of the year, what it's been largely for OU on the offensive side is short fields, you know, turnovers, creating points. It's also been a lot of explosive plays, but very little driving methodically down the field. I'm actually going to go OU. I think OU wins this one outright, 20-17. They find a way to get to 20 points. Sandell hits a couple of long ones. They get a couple of turnovers, and they win it very similarly to they won to the one that they won in Tuscaloosa.
So that was Joel Klatt giving his thoughts there. As you guys heard him, he went with Oklahoma. But I will say, I mean, if you listen to his reasons, I mean, to be fair, special teams wise, I would definitely give Oklahoma the edge. Defensively, I think you got two great defenses. I think that's almost a wash, personally, even though, I mean, you know, we know how they played last time we played each other. I mean, our defense played well as well, but they forced turnovers, and that really led to the reason that they won the football game. And he basically said the same thing I've been saying. The biggest question mark for those guys is, you know, their inability to really have that spark offensively and score a bunch of points. So that is kind of interesting. But, Chase, what are your thoughts, man? So we got one clip there. Joel Klatt going with Oklahoma. He listed his reasons. What do you think about that, Chase?
I think they're pretty valid. The distraction part, I don't really see that because what can they be distracted by? You know, I understand OU is on the precipice of possibly beating Bama, you know, 3 times in a row, but I feel like Oklahoma has more distractions than Bama, in my opinion. You think about,
really?
You know, Bama knows what's in front of them, right? It's either win or go home. you know, everybody's already trying to get Kalen DeBoer to go to Michigan, you know, down in Ann Arbor, which will never happen. I don't know why people keep fueling that station. Cut it out. But I feel like with Oklahoma, right, I feel like they have more to lose in this case. Because, one, offensively, you're right. When they played Bama back, I think in November, October, they didn't really do much on offense. It was more of just mistakes on offense for Bama. If you eliminate that, I feel like Bama would have scored a lot more, and you eliminate field position.
Take away their points, too.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, it's just, I feel like Oklahoma, they're going to have to do a little bit more than what they did down in Tuscaloosa, or it's going to be a lot of differences you'll see in comparison to the game you saw earlier and for tonight. So I disagree with Joel in a little bit. I can see his prediction, but I don't feel like there's distractions for Bama right now.
That's an interesting take, Chase. I will say that. I'll say this. I do think Alabama definitely has more distractions than they do, unless I'm missing some on there, because I'm just not aware of what distractions they might have in terms of, because I mean, I haven't heard many rumors about anything coaching-wise or even, I guess, even with like their players. I think they did have one guy enter the portal maybe earlier in the week, but I would say Bama definitely probably has more distractions right now. But that said, I agree with you that I think that was a little bit of a, I wouldn't call it a reach, because to be fair, most of the time, yes, that could have an effect on a football team if there's a lot of noise going on. I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, let me be careful. I can't say too much. There are some distractions that this team dealt with last time we played Oklahoma. I guess it's not really funny. I shouldn't laugh at that. But just know, I mean, there were some distractions and some things going on internally that definitely probably created some noise. Not going to dive into that. If you've heard about that, you probably already know. That said, I do think that is true that distractions can obviously creep in. But I just feel like with this team, I agree with Kalen DeBoer on this one, where he's come out and said, I mean, this team has had to face distractions pretty much all season long. I mean, if you go back to the Florida State game, I mean, we had literally the whole world talking about how bad Alabama is, how embarrassing Alabama was against Florida State. Everybody questioned, I mean, not even just questioning if they're a good football team, but I mean, basically calling them soft, questioning their physicality. I mean, it was pretty bad. And I thought they responded about as good as you could. That said, I just don't know if it really is that big of a deal in this game. The only reason I say that is even when the rumors were going on before Kalen DeBoer came out and shot him down, if you go back and listen to like those player interviews, at least in my interpretation, I didn't take it as anybody was concerned or focused on that. It seemed like everybody was just going about their day to day as if everything was normal. So, I agree with you that I think he was probably a little bit of reach on there. But I do agree with him that Oklahoma special teams, very good defense, very good. It's just a matter of how many points can they get on the board. And if their defense isn't able to help them out the same way they helped them out in the first time, personally, I don't think they're able to put enough points on the board to win the game without the help of their defense. Special teams, I mean, you know they're good for some field goals, but can they get those same turnovers? The other question I have, Chase, is on our end, you know, we talk about, yes, we were able to have success moving the football. Well, that was at home. Now we have the challenges of playing on the road. Those are two questions that I'm looking for in terms of this rematch. Again, these teams just faced about a month ago. Can Alabama find a way to recreate the success they had at moving the football on this defense with the new challenges that they face on the road? And can Oklahoma, on their side of things, find a way to recreate the success that they had turning over the football, given their offense, short field, and more scoring opportunities? Those are two things, Chase, that I think that could really come to play in this football game and that I'm definitely going to be looking out for. All right, let's hit a timeout to stay on schedule. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling again. Top of the hour, we got Reagan Starner with his smoking hot picks. We'll get his thoughts and predictions on this one. We'll talk about some other matchups going on this weekend as well. We'll keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
If you pay off earlier, cancel. Contact us. Finance agreement 128 gigabytes, $599.99 required. Best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 1H2025. Visit T-Mobile.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
guys. Free for all Friday edition. Game day Friday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Getting you guys ready for the first round playoff matchup tonight. Oklahoma, Alabama, 7 p.m. Central Time kick. All right, so here's the Thursday latest update for the injury report. Both tight ends, Quavis and Danny Lewis, listed as probable. So expecting them to go. Plus, Coach DeBoer seemed pretty confident that they'll be out there. I think it's more of a matter of just how healthy those guys will be. Notice, again, Jam Miller nowhere to be found on the injury report. So good news that he's definitely good to go. I just similar type deal, man, just seeing him kind of work in practice. I just don't know how good he is in terms of, you know, his health, right? He'll be out there, but is it going to be the Jam we saw come to life against Auburn? Because if it's that Jam, man, I'm really confident that we can find a way to get something going again on the ground like we did the last time we played these guys. But we'll have to see, right? But those guys definitely will be big because we do need to find a way to run the football again. Do not want to be one-dimensional, especially in this matchup. I repeat, you do not want to be one-dimensional going against an Oklahoma defense with the pressures, the simulated pressures, all the blitzes that they like to run. And they execute them at a very high rate, right? It's not like they're just doing it to do it. They're very effective. And again, if you go back and watch the pick six, the sacks, then those critical moments that we had, man, all were caused. I mean, I know we like to say, you know, we made a mistake, which, yes, you can say it's a mistake on our end, but got to give credit where credit is due, man. They are definitely doing their part in forcing those things. On their end, like QO6 mentioned, it does look like they have three DBs out. I'm not too sure. Wait, I have their depth chart pulled up. So 9, 15, and 21. Let's see if any of those guys were true starters. So 15 is the backup at the cheat position, the guy we talked about yesterday, that 6'5", 240-pound freak athlete that they have that basically plays like a nickel. Let's see, 21. I don't even see him on a depth chart, man. Unless I'm just – oh, wait, no. It looks like he's a – they have him as a four-string guy. And then what was the last one? Let me pull it back up. Number nine. Yeah, I don't really even see him either unless I'm just missing – oh, wait, no. Actually, he looks like he's a starting right corner. So, looks like they do have at least one starter that's out. Let's see. We got a couple questions we can get to. Superfly said, what's up with their centers? He's still questionable. 69. Let's pull up their depth chart. I mean, that's who they've got there from last night. So, that's, that is their starting center. Looks like he is Superfly. He's doubtful. So, could see a backup in that spot. Georgia had a backup at that spot at center in the SEC championship game and seemed to be okay for those guys. So we'll have to see how that could potentially affect Oklahoma. All right. I have another clip I want to get to, but we only got, you know, 3 minutes right here before we get to Reagan. I guess, you know what, we could just run real quick. No, let's wait. I'm going to wait to run it. Then that way we can respond to it. But it's another take this time from ESPN this morning, giving their thoughts on it. We just heard from Joel Klatt. Just want to get some more national, mouths on here. Get some rat poison going, maybe. I guess we can just roll with that. Let's see some other predictions. We got QO6, 23-16 win. Very interesting score there. You got another 24-17. Daniel Hill had 60 yards rushing on 15 carries, running the damn ball. Hopefully we do get back to running the football, man. Definitely been a missing factor for this offense. We got a question from Taylor. He says, do you think DeBoer makes in-game adjustments? Seems like he's a let it ride type of guy. I'll say this, you know, he definitely delegates the responsibility to his coordinator. So a lot of what's going on offensively is really on behalf of Ryan Grubb. I'm sure Kalen DeBoer has all the veto power, the override power being the head coach. But in terms of, you know, kind of the flow of things and who's really kind of commanding things, typically it's going to be the coordinators, Ryan Grubb offensively and Kay Momick defensively. That said, do I feel like we make in-game adjustments? They definitely feel like there's a lack of them the last few games. I mean, even just looking at Georgia, I just feel like we didn't really adjust great to what they were doing. So I see where that question is going, and I feel like I agree that, yes, it does seem like it's kind of like, hey, we're going to – this is what we prepped. This is our game plan. We're just going to stick with it. Similar to what I felt like we were doing last year defensively, not even what I felt, is that we were doing that a lot last year. Right, we weren't adjusting much defensively. It was kind of like, hey, this is what we prepped in practice. This is our game plan. We're just going to stick with it. And I feel like now that we've made a lot more adjustments defensively, it's definitely benefited us a lot. I feel like maybe we need to see that same kind of, you know, shift happen offensively. Because I think, look, we're at a point where offenses, we need something. We need something going. So we got to figure out something. And whether that's adjustments, getting our playmakers of football in different, you know, varieties of fashion, whatever the case may be. I know Ryan Grubb said, hey, I've pretty much tried all these different things to kind of get that rhythm, try to get the running game going. But keep trying, brother, because you got to figure something out at some point. But we have hit the top of our break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Reagan Starner, Barnard Cigars. Keep talking about this matchup, Alabama-Oklahoma tonight. 7 p.m. Central Time is the kick. So it's right now approaching us, man, 7 hours away. So we'll keep getting you guys ready for that. But first, we'll hit this timeout. We'll talk with Reagan. We'll keep on rolling, and we'll take your calls. 205-342-9904 is the number. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
The Seattle Seahawks sit alone at the top of the NFC after their comeback win over the Rams in overtime, where they won it 38-37. Sam Darnold threw for 270 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also had 2 interceptions in the loss. Matthew Stafford threw for 457 yards and 3 touchdowns, while Puka Nacua had 12 catches for 225 yards and 2 touchdowns. In the NBA, the Mavericks defeated the Pistons in overtime, 116-114, where Cooper Flagg had 23 points and 10 rebounds. Luka Doncic had 45 points as the Lakers came back to beat the Jazz 143-135. And Jalen Brunson hit the go-ahead three with 4 seconds left, and the Knicks held on 114-113 against the Pacers.
Hurry in. It's all happening at Macy's Great Gift Sale this Saturday. No purchase necessary. See store for details. Official rules at Macy's.com/great gift card giveaway.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9111.
Saturday, December 27th, Pearl River Resort Silver Star Convention Center. Tickets on sale now at pearlriverresort.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Colder today, sunny and breezy at times, the high 49. Clear tonight, a light breeze by daybreak, the low 32. A big warm up tomorrow, a good supply of sunshine, the high 60. And Sunday, the sky partially sunny, the high 61. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 47 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts, man. Sorry, I have to be so sensitive right now. It's like a little mine I have with my setup. I touch one thing, man, the whole thing just kind of just cuts in and out. So, all right, we're just going to get through today and we'll get it all corrected. But without further ado, let's keep on rolling. We got our buddy Reagan Starn of R&R Cigars up next here on the phone lines, talking some football, talking this game. We'll definitely get his smoking hot picks. Reagan, man, good talking to you. How's everything been?
Hey, man, I'm, Cigar Claus is getting ready for all the ho-ho-hos of Christmas.
I bet you are, Brigham. I bet you are. Y'all doing anything for the game tonight, like a watch party? Or I mean, I know everybody's always open for that, but y'all planning on some big stuff tonight?
Yeah, we've got a, I mean, you know, big, Yeah, we're doing the watch party. We'll have the $5 Joyless Murder Balls and $5 Red Elephants. So nice. We'll be doing those. And then, I don't know, is it supposed to be cold today? Or is it like, we'll probably have like, we'll have, and I think the upstairs will be open. So, it'll be a, I wish it was the weather like yesterday. But yeah, we'll have the upstairs open. We'll have all of the drink specials, and if the Tide win today, there'll be a margin of victory discount if you watch the game at R&R. So however much Alabama wins by, that's how much you'll get off on your cigars.
Dang, that's a pretty cool deal, man. So hopefully we can blow them out.
Yeah, a blowout would be cool. Yeah,
that would definitely be cool. So you heard Reagan. So you guys go watch the game there. You get a discount by the margin of victory. So we win by 21 points. Well, that'd be a 21% discount on your cigar. So that's cool, man. Very creative, man. I like that. And then tell me real quick, you said Joyless Murder Ball. That's the name of the drink. Well, what does that consist of? That's it's quite the name. I mean, we've heard it with football, but, you know, how does that carry over to the cocktail?
So the Joyless Murder Ball is something I came up with a while ago, but it's basically it's bourbon and lemonade and sweet tea.
Oh, wow.
It's bourbon and an Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, I was about to say, so bourbon and Arnold Palmer. Damn. Listen, I don't drink, but that actually sounds really, really good. So if you guys haven't tried that, man, go try it and tell me how it is, because that definitely sounds good, man. Bourbon and Arnold Palmer.
It's honestly, it's one of our most popular cocktails.
Yeah, I can imagine so. It sounds great, even from me. I used to drink, but I don't. And that definitely sounds good. But somebody in our chat, Reagan, by the way, he said, okay, that's great that there's a discount for the margin of victory. But he said, however, if we lose hypothetically, which we don't, you know, that's not on the plans. But is there an upcharge?
So that would be a good risk reward thing. But but what you could, but here's another deal. And we'll do it just for your listeners. But if you buy a box of cigars today before the game starts, you can make a prediction on who you think will win the national championship of any of the teams in the college football playoff. Buy a box of cigars today, and then you say, I won Alabama. I think Alabama's going to win the national championship. If your team wins the national championship, I'll give you a free box of cigars. The same one that you purchased. Not like you don't get to purchase the cheapest thing and say, I want a free box of your most expensive cigars. But you buy a box of cigars, you get the same box if your bet hits. This is about the only way we can do sports betting in the state.
Hey, I mean, that's fun. Well, it makes it fun. And so you heard the man. You heard Reagan. He said, if you buy a box of cigars today, you say, hey, I listen to the Miller's Edge. I heard your custom promotion, and this is my team. I'm picking to win the national championship. If they win, you double up. You win yourself another box. So I like that. So all our listeners, Tide, YouTube, Facebook, all that, man, go check Reagan out at R&R Cigars, and go tell them who you got winning the championship, and hopefully you guys get it right to double up. Speaking of the championship, Reagan, you got the first round of the playoffs taking place today. We all know Alabama taking on Oklahoma. It's a rematch. We'll get to that game here in a second, but I want to get your picks on a couple other matchups that we have slated for this weekend for the first round before we get to the big one. We'll start here, Reagan, because I don't even know if I even want to talk about the no disrespect. I know some people got upset with Coach Saban comparing the group of five teams like AAA, but, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they can prove us wrong. We'll start with Miami, Texas A&M. Miami, a team that Some people felt shouldn't have jumped Notre Dame, shouldn't have been in. Others, you know, were cool with it. I think they're a talented roster. We'll see what our guy Cristobal can make happen as he travels to Texas A&M College Station and faces the Aggies, Reagan. That one, it's a tight one. Texas A&M's favored by 3 in this point, or excuse me, in this game. Reagan, how do you see that playing out?
Yeah, these are like, these games tomorrow might be ugly. I mean, I'm just going to be honest, like,
the Oregon ones you're referring to?
Yeah, I mean, Nick Saban might have a point about not allowing group of five teams in. Even ACC teams. A&M and Miami, thank goodness for both of these teams, honestly, this year, because if it wasn't for them, we'd be watching Notre Dame play again. So really grateful that these two teams are the two teams that beat Notre Dame, which caused one of the greatest crash outs I've ever seen in college football.
Reagan, too soon, man.
No, I mean, those Notre Dame fans crashed out like nobody I've ever seen. Didn't even wait for the ink to dry before they said, we're taking our ball and we're going home. join a conference if you want in the playoff. Join a conference. I'm sorry. Everybody else is in a conference, and Notre Dame still thinks they're special. They're not. Long story short, I'm going to go with A&M in this one.
It's tradition. Isn't it like the part of their story? I don't know.
It's 2025. Nobody cares about Rudy anymore. Go give me A&M.
Oh, man. Well, we'll see. I'm definitely leaning A&M in this game, but part of me is kind of like, man, I want Cristobal to kind of get over that hump, man. I mean, he's been doing a good job at Miami, and I love Cristobal. I mean, listen, you're talking about a nut, man, and in a good way. I mean, dude, I don't know if he did like Muay Thai or something. He always was like making like fight references or something, but just like the way he just goes about things, he's a very interesting dude, but a great football coach, man. So I'm rooting for him. But I'm kind of like, yeah, I just don't know if I see him beating A&M in College Station. But we'll see, man. We'll see what he can pull out. All right. There's no point really even asking your picks on these unless you want to just say, you know, do the point thing. I mean, Tulane, Ole Miss, that's another rematch. Right now, Mississippi, Ole Miss, excuse me, is favored by 17.5. You got James Madison traveling to Eugene, Oregon. Oregon's favored by 20.5. Do you even want to call the points on that, Reagan, or you want to skip over that?
I think they're both blowouts. I love Pete Golding. Pete's my guy. I just don't see James Madison doing very well over in Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah. So you don't think either one of those games is a little bit closer than what the spread says? You think anybody makes it maybe, I don't know, one score type game? If anybody did, I could maybe see Tulane, maybe.
Didn't Ole Miss beat them like 50-7?
I don't remember the exact score, but they definitely beat them by, I mean, I think it was at least 20.
I think they spanked them pretty good. They beat them 45-10.
Yeah. So
what are we
probably
doing?
Probably going to be similar. Yeah, probably similar thing. Let's talk about the big one. Yeah, trust me, I'm with you, man. Let's talk about the big one, Reagan. We got Oklahoma. They'll be hosting Alabama in Norman, Oklahoma this evening. A lot of people were concerned about the weather. I think initially there were some thoughts it could be extremely cold. Hey, maybe some snow. They had some, I think, as recent as a couple weeks ago. But it actually seems to be decent. I think it's probably similar to what we've got around here. Probably, you know, upper 40s, lower 50s type deal. But there is going to be some strong winds, which could make it interesting. I guess maybe the passing game could have some, some bit of an effect. Or maybe it'll affect their kicking game. I'm not, you know, I guess too high on ours or expect us to be taking some crazy field goals anyway. But their kicker is, you know, a big piece of that. We'll pay attention to. But anyway, Alabama right now, Reagan, Oklahoma's only favored by 1.5. But if you listen to some of these pundits in the national media, a lot of people are heavily leaning Oklahoma, in my opinion, at least from what I've heard. How do you see this going, Reagan? They say it's tough to beat a team twice in one season. We found that out against Georgia, but it doesn't seem like people are keeping that same energy with us traveling to Norman, Oklahoma. Do you think the Alabama Crimson Tide, Reagan, in year two under Kalen DeBoer, can get over that hump and can find a way to leave these doubters speechless and get their first playoff win under Kalen DeBoer?
Yeah. So, you know, I've been asking for a while, like, who's our rival? And it's actually kind of turning out to be Oklahoma, I guess. But, you know, it's been weird, right? Like Oklahoma, who would have thought? It's supposed to be cold. I don't like cold. I'm a warm weather guy. I like a beach, you know. I don't like being cold in the mountains. I think that's weird. I just think that's weird. I don't understand people that are like, I want to be cold in the mountains. Like, yeah, I'd rather be hot at the beach. You know, but it's just such a weird Oklahoma to me is just such a weird team. And that was just such a weird game when we played them last time. It was just honestly just such a weird game. I think Alabama wins today, and I know that a lot of people have been, you know, all about, you know, all on Ty. They love to hate on Ty. His wide receivers really need to step up today. You know, like, I can't really think of a play all season where I'm like, man, you know, the wide receiver really stepped up and made a play for their quarterback. They need to step up and make some plays for their quarterback today. O-line needs to block. I'm not worried about the defense. I mean, I think this defense is gonna give Oklahoma fits again. But I really want to see Alabama score 30. You know, I think Alabama's got to score 30. You know, which is something that I think they've only done two times this year. So I don't care if they run the ball to score 30. I don't care if they have to throw it 80 times to score 30. But you know, I think they need to score 30 to win today. I think they do win today, and I think it's like 27-17. But don't get me wrong, this Alabama team. You know, they're obviously one of the best, you know, 12 teams, but I think they're one of the top teams in the country when they play their game right. And unfortunately it's come down to, you know, I don't know what Ty has to do a lot of times, because, you know, I see a lot of balls that he hits these receivers in the hands, he hits them in the chest. You know, and it's just like, hey, there's a touchdown. Oh, just kidding. So, you know, I'd like to be able to run the ball better. Obviously, you control the game a little better with running the ball, but, you know, it's not like you can't win by just throwing it. Yeah. You know, Ty's got to use his legs some. But I think the biggest thing in this game is our wide receivers. Our wide receivers, when, like, it used to be with, you know, like with those four, you know, Smitty, Judy, Ruggs, Waddle, and, you know, Mechie, Jameson Williams, the catch radiuses were insane, right? If you threw it, if you just, you know, it'd be like, oh, there goes Bryce. He just, you know, he's just chugging up, you know, J-Mo's down there somewhere. Mechie's down there somewhere. Smitty's down there somewhere, you know. In their catch radius, everything, you know, they just snatched it up. You know, you don't get that same feeling from this wide receiver group, you know.
Well, hold on, Regal. Let me ask you this, though. I mean, before the season started, everybody was telling us that this was the best receiver group and even potentially better than some of those rideout groups. And when I gave pushback on it by saying, I just want to pump the brakes a little bit, I'm like, on paper and what I've seen from these guys, I definitely think it's the most talented group we've had in the last at least 2 years. But I'm like, y'all going back to some of these, like, you know, 2020, even 21, like, I'm like, hey, let's kind of slow down a little bit. So I'm like, can somebody at least say, hey, we're sorry, Christian and Corey. I see him in the chat. You know, we said that. Maybe slow down a little bit. But I will say this. I think the potential is there for this group. Jeremy Bernard is, you know, he's a good
one. No doubt.
Super reliable.
No doubt. Yeah, Ryan Williams is as talented. Ryan Williams is as talented as they come.
And then listen, Horton has shown. I mean, he can be a factor. I mean, he's had multiple games with multiple touchdowns, and has shown he's, you know, a different option out there wide. And look, I'll just say this: I agree with you. Yes, they have to play better. I just think there could also be some things, coaching wise, in terms of the way we're calling plays to help those guys out a little bit. I think it's a group effort. They need to up their game 1,000%, which in turn will help Ty's game. He also needs to make some better throws. We got the tape pulled up right here. This one was that interception that he threw it against Oklahoma, not the pick six, the other one that luckily got called back. And I'll be honest, this one, I don't know what he was really looking at. It was kind of confusing. But sure. And I also do think there's an aspect where the coaches can call things better, where everything doesn't feel like these long developing routes down the field. Let's just try to get the ball out quick. Let's get Ty some confidence and get him in a rhythm. Let's get our playmakers of football and let them make plays. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think those things could also help. I think it's a group effort. Everybody has to be better to find a way. Like you mentioned, and when this offense does click the way they clicked in the earlier part of the year, if we had that offense through week two through week six, seven, whatever it was, that offense paired with the way this defense is playing right now, without a doubt could make a run and go compete to win a national championship in this year's playoffs. If we don't see a return of that offense, I'll just be honest with you. I just don't know how far this team can get. That's just me being completely honest.
Correct. In my opinion, the biggest thing is I think their defense is good enough to keep them in a game with anybody, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the saving grace of this team, and that's why I say this team is one of the best teams in the football, is because their defense can keep them in any game, you know.
Right.
So they're not going to give up a lot of points. And frankly, I think the Georgia score is, you know, very misleading, because, you know, lots of short fields. And the defense, I think, really did play well in that game, given a lot of the wild things that happened in that game.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying about the Georgia matchup. I mean, that's why I always say, don't just look at stats, don't just look at numbers, man. The tape tells everything. That's why we sit on this stream, right? We don't just, you know, talk on the radio. We bring it to the YouTube channel so we can pull up the tape. Like, we got it right now, and it. The tape does not lie, and it will tell you everything that you need to know and everything you need to correct and everything that you need to keep doing if you want to have success. And everything tells me Alabama needs to protect the football in this matchup, get better field position, and not give them such good field position, and we should have ourselves a chance in this game. So it sounds like you're picking Alabama, Reagan, to win. And
I said it a couple days ago. If you're betting this one, if you're betting – not that you can do that in Alabama. Bet the spread and the money line, and take the, I think the over under is 40.5. Yes. I don't like messing with overs and unders, but if you're feeling really frisky, I would take the under on the 40.5.
And remember, guys, this is not betting advice. This is
not betting advice. If I was gambling, if I was gambling, I'd take Alabama and Alabama +1.5, Alabama money line, and I messed up. I would take the over.
Okay. Well, for all you guys that do that, again, not bad advice, but that's what Reagan.
That's Cigar Claw's line of the week.
There you go. From Reagan Starner himself over at R&R Cigars, the mansion right here in Tuscaloosa, 2703. Gary Fitzgerald, again, they will be I'm not necessarily calling it a watch party, but you can call it something like that. Bunch of people heading on over there to watch the game. He said that the upstairs will probably be opened up. They got TVs throughout, have heaters outside too if you're on the porch, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah, they got a great time. And make sure you guys try that. What is it? Joyless Murder Ball. Try that for me, because again, I don't drink anymore, but it's an Arnold Palmer with bourbon, which makes me kind of want to come out of retirement and just take a sip and see how it tastes. And again, to be clear, everybody's probably like, oh, wait, do you have a drinking problem? Absolutely to the hell not. I just stopped drinking when I was playing professional football, and I stuck with it. So if you guys do drink, though, check that out for me. It does sound really good. I'm trying to stay on my streak, man. It's been like several years since I've had a sip of alcohol. So that being said, Reagan, I appreciate you joining
us. That's awesome. I'm happy for you. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, to be clear, again, it's not like it was like, oh, man, Christian had a problem with drinking. No. I promise to God, I hardly drink anyway, but I just quit drinking. And then it was almost like I stopped drinking so long. I was like, man, I kind of want to stick with it. Like I feel better. And I mean, I think that was back in like 2020 ish. So, but then I had like a beer since then, but like the last beer I had probably was 2022 or 2023. So yeah, it's been about 2 or 3 years.
That's
so,
a anyway. Good
thing. Yeah. I mean, you know, but if you're at R&R Cigars, don't do that. Enjoy the drinks that they have. That's why they have it for you guys.
And then you can meet Cigar Claus tomorrow.
What is this? Cigar what?
They can meet Cigar Claus tomorrow.
Cigar Claus?
Yeah, Cigar Claus.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a Cigar Claus. I wasn't even aware of that. So if you guys would, I was going to say bring your kids, but don't do that.
No, you shouldn't bring your kids. But,
probably don't. Don't do that. We'll save your kids for regular Santa Claus. But Cigar Claus will be hanging out there as well.
Cigar Claus
can
be
there. Oh, man. Reagan, always a pleasure having you out here. You always get a good laugh, man. I appreciate you, man, and everything you guys are doing over there. And again, our listeners, man, need a place to go watch a game, 2703 Gary Fitz Street at R&R Cigars. They're doing it. They got the drinks, Joyless Murder Ball, all that good stuff, and the best humidor in the Southeast, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014-15. It rains, right, when I got here, which is really cool, man. Cool stat. Reagan, you have a great weekend, man. Hopefully we get this done, then we can keep on rolling. Yes, sir. Roll Tide. All right, guys, we got to hit a timeout. We come back, we keep on rolling. Don't forget to drop y'all's predictions. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. We got Smitty on the lines. We'll go to him. We got this tape pulled up. We'll keep talking about our breakdowns, our thoughts, our keys, predictions, all that coming up right on the Miller's Edge. Tide under 0.9, 1230, WTBC.
We can help you with the protection that's right for you and the things you love most. Allstate. Are you in good hands? 248-0303.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation.
But now I'm speaking French. Tout ça, c'est grâce à Babbel.
Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Colder today, sunny and breezy at times, the high 49. Clear tonight, a light breeze by daybreak, the low 32. A big warm-up tomorrow, a good supply of sunshine, the high 60. And Sunday, the sky partially sunny, the high 61. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 49 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this Friday edition, game day edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Might be the first time we've really said that, game day edition. We never really had a game day during the week, so it's pretty cool. Game day edition, 7 p.m. kick. Real quick before we go back to the phone lines, we're talking about, you know, what needs to happen in this game. We're talking about these keys, right? Protecting the football. How do you protect the football other than, you know, high and tight, clinching the football, right? Having the right points of contact on the football. We know all that in terms of, right, not giving up fumbles, letting guys punch it out. That said, though, better decisions in this football game, knowing that this defense is going to throw a lot at you. They're going to bring pressure. They're going to throw different coverage. They're going to disguise really well. This is where Ty's got to be better in this football game. We know about the pick six, but no one's really talking about these other, you know, decisions or, you know, other issues that came up. You know, I went back to this play. We already broke it down, so I'm not going to break it down again, but this was where we had Bernard on the angle route on the defensive end, right? Again, it comes down to not forcing things, taking what the defense gives you, right? If you've got an angle route with Jeremy Bernard in the backfield, that's why you have him back there. You're creating a mismatch. All right, sorry. The phone's so sensitive here on the system, so sorry. Got cut out for a second. If you have that mismatch that you want, you got to take advantage of it, right? We end up trying to force it here to Isaiah Horton. Ends up being incomplete, but you've got Bernard right there, right? And I know it's first down. Take those yards, man. There's a good chance he ends up making a guy miss and falls into the end zone, right? You got to take advantage of that. And you see the frustration by Bernard. Let's move forward to where we were a second ago. So about three plays later, right? Two plays later, whatever it is. It's third down now, right? Drop back to pass. They're playing man coverage with looks like at least one low hole defender right here. You got another guy that pops out. I think he's a defensive end. Again, this is something that they like to do, right? You see him popping out, just taking away some of those underneath routes. There's not much room to work here. Oklahoma's doing a good job taking away pretty much everything here. Ty tries to force this. There's a safety read in the whole thing, and you see what happens. Interception. Now, luckily, there is a PI by five. Five got handsy. Again, freak athlete, 6'5", 240, playing nickel. Right, he got handsy. I think Lott's kind of sold it pretty well, which I think helped us get that call. But still, it really wouldn't have mattered because that safety read the whole thing. We got saved right there. But again, another example of forcing things when you don't have to. If that didn't get called back, that would have been a guaranteed 3 points. Well, we would like to say guaranteed. I guess nothing's guaranteed with our special teams right now. What ended up being a pick, but luckily we got saved and ended up working out. So again, just want to show you guys examples from the last time we played these guys, the things that they do on defense. You can't try to force things. You got to take what they give you. Play smart football, because if you do that, Oklahoma, I just don't think their offense has enough to get the job done. And the last thing you want to do is go back and play them again and make the same mistakes of forcing things and giving them more than they need to be given, knowing what they're already trying to force on you. All right, let's go back to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Smitty up next. Smitty, welcome in.
How's it going, Christian?
Smitty with us?
Hey. Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Going once. Going twice. I think.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you go. Smitty with us?
Yeah, Grandpa. I can hear you now. Yeah, like your button is here.
Sorry, it might have been something on the system. I don't think we had you clicked over yet. We got you now, though, Smitty. What's going on, brother?
Man, you know, not too crazy nervous about this game, though. But the one thing, like the last person talking about the R&R, got his name, but the guy runs the place.
Reagan,
he was something I was telling. Yeah, I'm telling my dad. Our receiver, that's why I slowed down his comparisons to rideouts and stuff, because you got to put it on the field first, and that's a crazy expectation. You know, those guys, and I look at Devontae and Jalen Waddle, who weren't big guys, but they made contested catches and were physical. Because sometimes you got to make those contested catches. I know we love Ryan, but he doesn't make contested catches. Isaiah Horton looks the part, but he has to play to his side sometimes and make those physical contested catches too, to be strong with the ball. Because we saw one play against Georgia. Yeah, it was a little behind him. But, hey, you got to catch that. You got to bring it in. You're a big guy. And I think one key to this game is that these guys have to be strong with the ball in their hand, quarterback, running back, wide receivers, because these guys are going peanut punch the whole time. And this is where, like, I know sometimes the offense may get behind things at times. You may have a bad spell. But you can't try to fight for extra yards against a team that is trying to punch the ball out every time out. And I think that is something that this team, and I'll start with Ty Down, is that, hey, you may find 28. Don't skip over the $5 on the street to reach in a bush, a sticker bush, and grab the 20. Get the five first, because you can't go wrong with a profit. It's more than what you came in with, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It, And like you talk about those plays, this is where I tell people, that ain't Ryan Grubb's fault. And I think that force he did in the end zone was in a clean pocket, too. So we can't blame the offensive line either. Because I've always said, what are you doing when the pocket is clean, the plays are there? He has to take that profit. Like you said with Jeremy Bernard, that's a touchdown. And if that defender makes a play at defensive end, you shake his hand and say, that was a heck of a play.
Yeah.
You have to take advantage. That's like me in the NBA. If I got Jokic against the smallest guy in the league, and I'm going to go ahead and pass to somebody else, I should be dumping that ball down to Jokic, right? You know? And I think with this team, field position is key. Alabama has lost the field position probably like a month straight now, you know, because going 10 plays every time is not good business because you do have a chance of a turnover, but also penalties that could set you back as well. And I think that is something they have to get, win that field position battle.
Yeah. Listen, the field position battle has been a major issue for us for a number of games now. And I think it kind of was looked over for a while. And it's crazy because Gray Robertson, you know, my partner over on the Crimson Tide Sports Network, he had brought it up weeks ago. And I remember when he first mentioned, I was like, damn, yeah, because he had the stats for it. I'm like, man, that I didn't even really pay attention to it. But then since that game that he brought it up way back when, like I started really like saying, hey, I wonder what exactly what these were, not just off of what I saw. And if you look at it, and that's why I'm glad Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, he wrote it down. If you go back and show the differences over the last 10 touchdown drives, last 10 scoring drives, Oklahoma's field position, I mean, on average is probably, I mean, like their drives are maybe on average like 45, 50 yards versus ours like almost 70, right? And that's an issue. And that just goes to show you how big of a deal that is, especially in this matchup we saw. It was a huge deal. Even with Georgia, look at Georgia. I think three of their four touchdowns all were pretty much damn near on our side of the field. So we got to play better. Special teams, limit turnovers. You can't give teams opportunities. That literally is just gifting the other team opportunities, and you can't have that. And I think it's almost not as important necessarily as turnovers themselves, but that's a pretty damn important stat that ends up being almost as, I guess, consequential in the long run.
Yeah, and I think because it's going to be a windy day out there at Norman, I'll pat talk to you on the shoulder and say, hey, we just need you for extra points, playboy. ain't no point even putting up. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm afraid of that guy when it's sunny and mild and it's no wind. I'm sorry. If it's a long one, you might have to go for it. So that's where game management comes in. Where, hey, maybe we just put ourselves in position to go for it on fourth because of that. And I think that's one thing Ty has struggled at times as well is management, where it's like, hey, situational awareness, where, hey, maybe I'm not going to get this first, but I know our coach can go for it on fourth down. Let's just try to get as close as possible. And I think that's where he may need to – I don't know if he's been unhealthy or what, but use those legs because I don't care if you get 3 yards out of it. Use your legs. And I think because our defense as well, our guys got to do their jobs as well. Don't worry about eye candy. If you're supposed to take the back, take the back. If the guy makes a good pass, as Nick Saban says, you can't defend a perfect pass. If they make a play, at least they make a play, you doing your job because they put their pants on too. And I think it guards Tanya because he's their guy. He's their big play guy. Do what Bill Belichick used to do with Tyreek Hill. We're going to double him. And if somebody else beats us, God bless you and good game. You know?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, like with adjustments, my issue with adjustments sometimes is if it works, it's an adjustment. If it doesn't, they don't know what they're doing. Let's just be real. Sure. A lot of cases. And I think what people love about these plays, everybody keeps telling me all year, Ty has the liberty to audible into a play. Well, shouldn't he be audible into some of these quick throws also? But that's where I think he may be big brain like Peyton Manning was in his peak, where he thought too much. He overthought it. And Ray Lewis and company said, man, we didn't pay attention to Omaha stuff to like 6 seconds left on the clock. That's where they're going to run the play.
Yeah.
That's why I think Ty had, I think maybe just like, oh, I saw this game. I bet I told you, Ohio State and Clemson. Ohio State got out of the huddle quickly and snapped the ball as fast as they could. So Brent Venables didn't know what they were in altogether. They could key in. Maybe not saying going no huddle, but going something like that. And, you know, kind of switch it up a bit. And I think with this game here, it's going to be like Iowa State. It's going to be low scoring.
Me too.
I say 2017. And all this talk about the game on Taylor LeBoy's job is on the line. That's poppycock from the I'm talking about the popcorn, right? You know, that's just a mess, right? Because our biggest piece of irony is the fans are more reasonable than the national media and some of these foreign players.
Hold on, Smitty, what are you saying? I said some, not you.
Yeah, you're cool because you talk ball, right? But the thing is, nobody's job is on the line here. And I think that all season long, we said, just 10-2, make the playoffs and see what happens. If you want to point a finger at somebody underachieving, let's talk about Steve Sarkisian at Texas. You have a great day, Christian.
Appreciate that, Smitty. Listen, I mean, we'll talk about the coaching stuff in a minute. We'll focus the task at hand. Smitty's over here trying to talk his stuff. I love it. Listen, he's right. I mean, Smitty always gonna keep it real, Chase. That's one thing you can expect out of Smitty. Let's do this. Let's hit this timeout. Stay on schedule. When we come back, we'll start kind of wrapping up our thoughts on this matchup. Give our own predictions. I've already touched on a number of keys, but we still got the tape pulled up. We'll still break that down. I might even hang out a little bit after we finish up on the radio just to continue with the tape. That way we can go through, because we're only in the second quarter on this game from last time. So maybe we'll hang out a little bit longer. And yeah, keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Time 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Don't go anywhere. We're not done yet. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Home of Alabama sports. The road to the national title starts now.
Strike up the band and light them up.
The Crimson Tide looks to get revenge on the Oklahoma Sooners in the first round of the college football playoffs. Friday, December 19th. First round coverage starts at 4 p.m. on your home for Alabama football.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
The Tide Tailgate Show
is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast
on 95.3 The Bear and Sports.
Decorated trees. It's the perfect way to make a merry memory in downtown Tuscaloosa at Government Plaza. For full details, visit ttowntinsel.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian.
6829. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829. 923-6829.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into this game day to the Miller's Edge. Time 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Just got done talking with Smitty, and we're about to wrap things up here in a second. But first, big shout out to Phil, one of our consistent listeners, especially over here on the stream, man. Big thanks to him for this super chat. Here is his message. It says, great shows this week, Christian. Appreciate your guests. Let's go, Bama Nation. Bring all the positive vibes. Roll Tide, venga. I like it. Even throwing a little bit of Spanish at the end, man. Shout out to Phil. He's awesome. Always hangs out with us here on the chat. Again, you guys can do that as we do the show Monday through Friday over on YouTube on the stream. Completely free, man. Just ask you guys, hit that like button, subscribe. All that is free and just helps push the show and helps grow the channel. That said, Chase, we got a few minutes left, man. I want to just make sure we both have enough time. Give our keys, final keys, final predictions. And so I guess I'll kick things off. I'll give you a chance to think about it. Keys for this game. Alabama, number one, offensively, have to find a way to pick up that pressure, right? We know Oklahoma's going to bring pressure. I can't remember what the stat was, but I want to say damn near 60% of the snaps, or at least the dropbacks, we saw some type of pressure. We gave up two sacks by the running backs in their blitz pickup. That has to be better. Offense line actually did pretty decent, but still, there was times that, you know, they needed plays in this game. They called pressure. They hit on it. We've got to find a way to negate that and take advantage of it, right? Because when teams are aggressive, there typically are some opportunities if you handle it correctly. I just don't think we've necessarily handled that great. And I'm not saying it's easy either, because Oklahoma will, they'll show guys up front. At first contact, they'll pop, so they'll take away some of the underneath stuff. They make it difficult, right? But we have to find a way to not only counter, but to challenge that pressure and keep these defenses honest. That's why you can't be one-dimensional. So, again, blitz pickup, right, and defending that aspect of the game, which was huge in the last one, will be huge. You talk about the turnover battle. We already know how big that was. Last time these teams played, we were able to move the football, for the most part, on this defense. I would say enough to be able to win this game, especially given Oklahoma's lack of offense. But the turnovers proved to be costly. We watched the tape, not only the ones that showed up on the stat sheet, but if you go back and look, we got saved, right? The first fumble, not first one, but one of the fumbles by Daniel Hill ended up resulting in a first down for us. They punched the football out. They had a helmet on, hat on a football, right? Good defense on their part. We got to protect the football. We got lucky there. We had the second pick that tied through in the red zone, trying to force something that was not there. Luckily, there was a PI, brought it back, it led to a touchdown. But again, if those weren't negated, those are two more turnovers in this game, which would have been a total of five, right? So that's got to be cleaned up. We got to play better and to protect the football. And on the flip side, we got to capitalize. We got to take the football away. We had opportunities last time we played these guys. John Mateer, he threw about two of them to us. Could have been pick sixes, maybe. I don't know. I mean, Justin Jefferson, I mean, he's got some wheels. I think he could have ran it then. There was not a lot of grass. We got to find ways to come up with turnovers. Our defense is playing really good. You know, last game we played, we kind of slipped up in terms of our red zone defense, which had been really strong. That's got to pick back up. But again, we got to capitalize on those turnovers and the field position battle. I can't harp on that enough. We've been talking about it, and I can't speak about it enough. You go back and look, Alabama has had a lot longer fields to work with. And on the contrary, the teams that we're playing, well, they've been being set up very nicely. Some due to our mistakes. Others, you know, they make some good plays. But still, you can't have that. I mean, you're basically gifting them with easy field position. You're making it a lot harder for yourself. So that has to be better. How do you do that? Protect the football. Better special teams. Better coverage on special teams, right? Like at Georgia, you can't give up these bigger returns, man. You just can't have it. So that being said, those are the main things I'm looking for. We already know, yes, we need to try to run the football. Yes, we need Ty to get back into rhythm. Yes, we need our receivers to step up. But I think those factors, to me, will be big. That's why I mentioned it earlier. Alabama, can you recreate the movement that you had offensively, right? On the road, knowing the challenges that come with that. Can Oklahoma, can they recreate the havoc, the turnovers? I think those two questions can honestly end up being some of the deciding factors in this game. I view it as low-scoring games like a lot of other people. I think it's going to be some downright physical football, two teams going back and forth. But the biggest questions to me is what I just mentioned. And can Oklahoma's offense do just enough for them to win, right? If not, I really think Bama has a strong chance to win this football game. If Oklahoma's offense is gifted some opportunities like last time and their defense continues the streak of forcing havoc on us like they did not only the last time we played, but even the time before where they forced three interceptions last time we traveled to Norman, that's an uphill climb. And one last key, starting out fast. I think starting out fast will put a lot of pressure on that Oklahoma football team that lacks the offensive explosiveness, or really just the spark at all offensively, to be able to drive down the field, long fields, and then put up enough points, right? I think if you have them playing from behind, that's not a position that they want to be in. That offense is not built to play from behind. So a fast start, I think, could go a long way for Alabama in this game. Not to say that it's easy to do, but I think that would go a long way. My prediction, Chase? Oh, man, I feel like I'm being just like everybody else, but I feel like Man, I'm feeling like a 20 to 17 type deal as well. I personally do. Now, I get a little worried giving us 20 because that consists of two field goals. We're talking about win here. I really don't like that. If now that I think about it, I actually think I'm going to go 21-17. Just something scares me about that. Like, normally I would say they got good defense. I think they probably get some good stops in the red zone, but I just worry about our field goals, our special teams. You got the win, I guess, causing havoc. I don't know. I'm just going to go 21-17. Chase, what you got for me, man, as we close things out on the radio side of things?
I'm going to go with Bama in this one. I'm going to go 24-10. Yeah, I don't trust our special teams right now, especially in this weather. I need touchdowns to really just finish this game. So, yeah, give me 24-10, Christian.
Chase got 24-10, and if that's the case, that's a 14-point difference. So if you're at R&R Cigars watching the game, that's 14% off your cigar. So make sure you guys go watch there. That way you can get that discount. Big thanks to everybody this week. Big thanks to all of our listeners on Tide 100.9, over on YouTube here in the stream, over on Facebook stream as well. Big thanks to all you guys for making this possible. We appreciate it. We've had a great week, a lot of good guests, a lot of good conversations, a lot of good, really everything, good vibes over here on the show. So big thanks to all you guys for making that happen. I'm going to close things out via radio. I'll hang on the stream for just a second real quick, and then get you guys ready for the game again. 7 p.m. kick tonight, Central Time. I'll be on late night duty. If you guys want to listen to me do my post game show that I do on the Crimson Tide Sports Network, you can always tune into that. You can listen to it via Tide 100.9 on the app. Again, about 45 minutes or so after the game concludes, me and Gray Robertson will take over the Crimson Tide Sports Network and bring you immediate analysis and conversations regarding what happens. And hopefully it's a good one. That's what we call it. The Crimson Tide party post-game show. Typically, it's a party for us. Hopefully, we got a party tonight. We'll see you guys then. This has been the Miller's Edge right here. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Victory Monday, hopefully, incoming. We'll see you guys then.